I love Pentecost. Yeah, amen, right? Like it's, I get that we're not a Pentecostal church, right? And I say this a lot and I mean it. We got a ghost. We're getting close, he says. Okay, yeah, we're getting close, that's for sure, right? And here's why. Because even though maybe we're not fully Pentecostal, we definitely can always go for more charisma, right? There's nothing wrong with being charismatic, amen? I mean, if we're going to get charismatic, I say getting charismatic for God is probably the way to get charismatic. We're going to get excited about something. That's the way to go. Amen? Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love this. I love being here. My first sermon to you as your pastor was March 25th, 2018. Been a little over 6 years ago. It was on a Palm Sunday. It was the Lord really, really put us right into a very close church, didn't it, Bill? I came in on Palm Sunday on Easter. I went up to Stanford to go meet with Bill and Lalani to serve Lalani communion. It wasn't long after that. We mourned her loss, the loss of Maurice. When I came in that Palm Sunday, I didn't know any of y'all. And it's kind of difficult to preach to a group you don't know, right? Because I don't know you. And to be fair, y'all, I'm from New Mexico. And for those who have not like lived outside of California, the rest of the union, we think y'all are strange. I'm just saying, don't take it personal, but we do. Like, when we hear California, all I think is, like, hippies, movie stars, and I don't know, California things. We're just going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty intimidated to come here. At least in New Mexico, like, it's a big old place with, like, just a few people, but it's New Mexico. And I knew my people, right? I grew up there. And so it's hard to speak to people that you don't know. So I came in and I preached a generic Palm Sunday message. And 56 days later, on May 20th, I preached from this same passage that Sister Janet read to you. And to understand why I preached from them and why I'm even coming back to it today, I need to share kind of the primary reason why I felt like God moved me and my family here from New Mexico. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I might be one of the few people from New Mexico who never wanted to leave New Mexico. I love that state. I grew up in southern New Mexico in Deming, which is probably what y'all picture New Mexico. Because when you guys think of New Mexico, most people think of desert and hot and yuccas and roadrunners and rattlesnakes, right? And that's southern New Mexico. That's Deming. Deming is a lot of that. But it's also, I joke with my dad who still lives there, that's what Los Baños is. Los Baños is Deming, but with 41,000 people instead of 14,000 people. We grow cotton, right? Instead of tomatoes, it's green chili. Man, but you know what? Tomatoes and green chili meant to be together. Both of them are proof that Jesus loves you and wants you to be happy. Right? Instead of almonds, we grow pecans. And only recently did I learn why there's no L in almonds, because you shake the L out of them. What? I know. I had a pastor tell me that joke, so I'm just saying. Okay. Pastor from Denair. He's now retired, so you can't do anything to him. Good. But I didn't want to leave, but I felt the Lord moving me here. And that's a difficult thing, to feel God really putting this burden on you to change. And here's what happened. It started before, but it really started to get huge during the presidential election of 2016. And most of you remember what this was like, because since then it feels like we've really just taken a dive as a nation, as a people. And I don't mean politically, I just mean kind of as a people. Because this election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it springboarded our world into this really deep division. We were already going there, but this just kind of just advanced us way ahead. And I don't blame either of them, to be honest with you. because we were already heading in their, that direction. But their disdain for each other, it bled into the very people that they claimed to represent. And mudslinging took just new levels. Dehumanization was made normal during this time. Hatred overwhelmed so many that they absolutely refused to believe that anyone who held a different political position could be anything but intentionally evil. And the enemy, the devil, and I want to be clear about this, the enemy is not your neighbor. The enemy is not the other political party. The enemy is not Russia or China or Mexico. The enemy is the devil. And the enemy, the devil, had filled our world, had so filled our world with fear and hatred that our hearts were hardened and our ears were shut so that we could scream our hatred without anyone ever interrupting us. He was inciting this division by telling lies that fed to our fears and that caused the most unreasonable accusations just to seem reasonable. And having grown up myself, having grown up with a foot in two worlds, I found myself in a position to recognize that most of these accusations were presented as absolute facts, like this is absolutely the truth, but they were blatant lies. And the more I tried to call them out on both sides, the more I found myself accused of being aligned with their political enemy. So if I told somebody, like, what you're saying is just simply not true, oh, that's because you're with them. But if I tell them, hey, what you're saying is absolutely untrue, that's because you're with them. And this is what the world had done. It becomes so divided that you had to choose a side. And if you changed one thing from one side, they were casting you out to the other. We became a people who cast people out. And my heart was broken. And I was frustrated because I felt like nobody wanted to hear the truth about other people. We wanted to hate them. We wanted to believe that they were enemies. We wanted to believe that they were waking up in the morning wanting to destroy our world and our values and our belief system and our nation and everything else. We want them to be the enemy. I felt like Christians and non-Christians alike all over America had given their ear to the devil so that he could tickle it with fear. But I felt very clearly the Lord calling me to be a part of exposing these lies, to exposing fears, to exposing the hatred that so many justified as righteousness. And through prayer and consideration, I felt the Lord direct me to a very new type of ministry. You see, I felt very deeply that the church was to be the place where we should come and be able to share our stories without fear of being persecuted. It should be a place where we intentionally listen to others for the sake of understanding them, not for the sake of condemnation. And eventually, God opened the doors to Los Baños. I still remember driving down Central Street in Albuquerque when Rob Songer called me and said, hey, I've got this little church I want you to consider. It's in a town called Los Baños. I was like, Los Baños? Sure, I said. You know I speak Spanish, right? Just saying. Maybe you should have kept the name to yourself. We'll leave that alone. But the community here, the community of Los Baños is one whose very structure, culture, history, even its geographic location, made it especially volatile to this work that the enemy was doing in our nation. In the relationship, or lack thereof, between the English church and the Spanish church here at Mercy Springs sealed the deal for me. When I spoke with the board on our interview online and I asked them to tell me about the Spanish church that was here and they were almost confused, they responded, you don't have to worry about them. We don't have any relationship with them. But man, I'll be there as soon as I can. Because I was certain that God called me here to bridge two worlds that were being further divided by the devil's lies. George Bernard Shaw says something that I want us to really, really kind of focus on. I'm going to leave this up here for the majority of it because I want us to really consider this. He says that the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that is taking place. See, I was sure that my ability to speak Spanish, my experience, meant that I could waltz right in here and I could save the world. I couldn't have been more wrong. I was under the impression that communication would take place every single time that I spoke. I could speak Spanish, I could speak English, but I lacked something. I lacked intimate participation with the community. And I give praise to God for bringing me Pastor Antonio. Because from day one, he was such a blessing to me. You see, he also felt this similar call from God to bridge gaps in our community. But he struggled with it because it wasn't something that anyone wanted to do. And he revealed to me that I couldn't be a bridge, that I couldn't even build bridges until I was willing to cross one and spend time really knowing the people. And he pulled me back so much. He slowed me down in a lot of ways that saved this church, that saved me. Because I'm the ready, fire, aim kind of person. Like, I know what needs to be done. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to work at it. And if it doesn't work, then I'm going to work even harder, and I'm going to get a bigger hammer. And Pastor Antonio was so good. Hey, you guys want to say, Raul, ven. Mira, let's go eat lunch. What? Every pastor, we got to go, Antonio. We got to go. Cálmese, Raul. He wanted me to spend time just knowing these people. You see, just because I knew the words didn't mean that I spoke the language. I had a lot to learn, and Pastor Antonio was so gracious that he spent the time trying to teach me, helping me. He helped me to see where the Holy Spirit was moving me and how to participate with God in this ministry. In verse 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. You see, the ability to speak in another person's language is definitely something that requires the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the ability to grammatically use the words or to pronounce them flawlessly. I'm talking about the ability to speak in a way that others understand. You see, saying words is not communicating. Communication requires speaking so that others understand the message you're trying to convey. And this requires an investment in the lives of others to learn their language. And without the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're rarely willing to sacrifice our time or our resources for such an investment. Because it takes a lot, and we know that it takes a lot. I don't have time for another person. I don't have time for another group. I barely have enough time for my own life. I barely have enough time to learn how to speak to my spouse. I barely have enough time to learn how to speak to my children. And anymore, that's a real thing. Because I said a word this morning in here that I've heard Isaac say to me, and I'm not sure if I cussed in church or not. I'm hoping I didn't, but I got what apparently is called brain rot. Is that right? Kyle's nodding yes. I got brain rot, and I'm blaming Isaac. He's not here, so I can blame him. But I don't have time for them. I don't have time to invest in learning what they have to say. I don't have time to learn how that group comes, because even within that, we know that we have groups within our groups within our groups. It's hard enough to learn how to speak, how high school kids are speaking, but then you go to the high school and they get their own groups, and we separate, and we have the hicks and the jocks. I'm using terminology from the 80s and 90s. I don't know what they use now. Mark's like, I know these names, right? Yeah, they're hicks and there's jocks. We had goths. I don't even know if goths are still a thing anymore. Are they? They are, okay, thank you, Mija, like I love learning this, like I'm learning things. But even in those, there's different terminology and different things. And so you want me to learn about this group that I don't even care that much about. See, that there's the issue. I don't have time to invest in people. And so instead, we do what so many do. We demand that they learn our language. I don't have time to invest in you, so if you want my help, you learn my language. You kids want me to do something? Then tell me in my language so I understand. My spouse wants me to do something, then you tell me in my language so I understand. My neighbors, whatever it is, even the countries, you want me to help you with something, then you speak my language. You come to me, you learn my language. And this is true at every level of our societies and our communities, whether the country, the church, our homes, our schools, our generations, whatever. But pay attention to what happened here in verse 4. The disciples, the apostles, did not teach others to speak in their language. And the apostles and the disciples were made to speak in the language of others. That's the direction that it goes. And when they did, when they learned how to speak, when they were given this ability to speak in the language of other people, not to have other people speak in their language, when they did this, something amazing happened. It says in verse 6, and at this sound, what is this sound? This is the sound of people speaking a language that they understand. I learned their language. I learned to speak how they speak. I learned to communicate in a way that they understand, not just their words, but the meanings, the nuances behind it, the manners, the culture. I learned how to do things so that they could understand. I gave of myself for them. And when that happened, when they heard this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered. Listen to me. You learn, you take the time to learn how to speak in the language of others, they will gather bewildered going, what is this? And you know why they'll gather? Because nobody does this. Nobody. This isn't even an America issue. This is a human issue. Nobody wants to learn what other people do. We want them to come to us and learn my way. You want my help? I have something to offer? Then you're the one that needs to do the work. And that's the way we teach over and over and over again. But if we're Christians, if we're going to follow the pattern that God has for us, then it's ours. It's ours to say, I'm going to learn how to speak your language so that I can start speaking that way. And then you'll come going, what the heck just happened? Did that just say brain rot? I'm afraid to say the other words, Kyle. I'm not going to lie. I want to say, but I'm half afraid I'm going to cuss on camera and I'm going to lose my credentials and then I'm going to have to get a real job and nobody wants that, right? Nobody, right? Nobody wants that? Amen, Pastor. Right. Man, make me beg for it. The crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. When we learn to speak in the language of others, they will come and listen. And I know that I haven't been big on pushing traditional forms of evangelism. That haven't big on saying, hey, let's go door to door, knocking on doors and telling people, hey, do you know Jesus? Or standing at the stores and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? I haven't been big on that. And the reason is because we can't speak until we've learned the language. We can't evangelize people until we know their language. And we can't learn the language until we invest our time and our resources in the lives of our neighbors. And the thing is that we won't do that unless we're filled with this perfecting love of the Holy Spirit. That's it. I want to invite the team to come up. There are so many ways that we can understand Pentecost. The first Sunday that I gathered here and I preached about it, I told you that the scene of Pentecost was a scene of people from all over the world gathering to worship this same God. They came to the same place on the same day to do the same thing, and they were divided by their languages, by their cultures. And the Holy Spirit came and changed that. When we gathered here 6 years ago, two groups had been gathering in the same house to worship the same God. The same denomination. In the same house, the same, very same room of the same building, on the same day for some 12 years. And one had nothing to do with the other. Shy of I want to say, less than 3 or 4 people, nobody even knew anybody from the other churches. I thought, how sad is that image? See, we can't do the work out there until we do the work in here. And we can't do the work in here if we're not willing to do the work. To be fair, we can't do the work until we invite the Spirit to do that in us. You know, Brother Roy talked about us almost becoming Pentecostal, right? I'm blaming Roy for that. So if we become Pentecostal, it's Roy's fault, not mine. No. But here's the thing, is we can't do that. We can't be a charismatic people. We can't even be excited about God. We can't do any of this until we're willing to do that. Until we say, okay, Spirit, work in me. Give me that perfecting love. But here's the thing. We don't really like that much, because when the Spirit works in us, when the Spirit fills you with this love, you have a burden for others. I like to talk like I'm big and tough, and I can't wait. You know, I'm like, oh, I got kids. Have kids, they said. It's a good idea, they said. But here's the thing. I love my babies. They're absolutely crazy, and some days I just want to tackle Kyle. Right now, it's all I can do, not jump off here and just tackle Kyle. He's like, why me? Because it's true, right? Like, he knows it's true. Like, he's probably going to get tackled later. I love my babies. God put this love in me for my kids. I never could have imagined till I have them, right? All parents get this. Like, till you have them, you don't get it. And we can't love our neighbors like that. We should love our neighbors that much. And if we don't love our neighbors that much, we need to be open up to the Spirit to do that in us. But we don't want the Spirit to do that in us, because if the Spirit does that in us, it's going to interrupt my life. My kids interrupted my life. They still interrupt my life. But I love that interruption. I live for that interruption. That interruption is what I exist for. That interruption, that burden isn't a bad thing. It's this thing that the Spirit put in me, and I can't even explain it, because it sounds stupid to say I love the interruption. I love the burden. I love the craziness. But I need that, and I want that. And the Spirit put that in me. And the Spirit's put that in me for this people, for this community. And it's crazy, and it drives us crazy. But we should all want that, and let the Spirit do that. Let the Spirit burden you. Amen. And when the Spirit burdens you, you will speak their language. You will learn it. I try to learn what cap and no cap means. I listen to the cultural translator on podcast every day, but my goodness, you guys change faster than the podcasts come out. Slow down. I'm still, I don't even know. I'm afraid I'm going to say a bad word. But we need to be burdened. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to sing this song again. But I want us all to sing it and actually ask it of God. Open up the heavens. Pour out your Spirit in me. We want to see you. We want to be changed. We want to be on fire right here, right now. Amen?